Sometimes we hear of a story of a person who lives like they are very, very poor, only to find out after they pass away, they've had millions of dollars at their disposal. It is that way for believers when we do not understand that God has given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus, but He gave it to us so that we can accomplish the purpose for which He chose us and that He marked us so we can be effective to complete the assignment that He has for every one of us. I want to share with you how God purposefully and strategically chose every believer to do something significant to accomplish His purpose in the world. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. How many glad to be in the house of the Lord one more time? We are in the middle of a series called Marked. And we want to encourage you today to have an appreciation and an understanding that God has you in His eyes and He's already marked you. So this message today are for those who are saved. Oh, let me just say that one more time. This message today, now if you're not saved, just listen in on it, but you can get in on it a little bit later. But those of you who are saved, this one is for you. So there are some unique things that are in store for those who are saved. Okay, I didn't say a Christian. Because there were Christians marching on the White House in the Capitol. Somebody had a sign, Jesus saves, while they up there tearing down stuff. So I'm not talking about those who say they are Christians. I'm talking about those who are saved. This is for you. The book of Ephesians is written to believers who might have a tendency to be unaware of or to underestimate who they are and what they have been given in Christ. Sometimes if we don't know what we have or what we have been given, we don't use or engage the things that God has made available to us. So if you don't know who you are and what you have, you run the risk of missing your purpose and missing your assignment in life. How many people go through this life without ever fulfilling the purpose for which God created you and for which God has placed you here? A lot of people miss that. But I'm here today to talk to every believer and to let you know that each of us have been chosen and marked by God on purpose and for a purpose. Okay, somebody wasn't even excited about that. I'm here to let you know that each of us were chosen by God on purpose and for a purpose. Whether you're in here or whether you're looking online, if you're a believer, you have been chosen and marked by God on purpose and for a purpose. And as you listen to this message, there are two things I want you to consider today. Number one, What purpose did God have in mind when he chose me and when he marked me? I want you to think about that. What purpose did God have in mind when he chose me and he marked me? Oh, you can look at somebody next to you if you're right next to them and say, I'm marked. Come on, say, I'm marked. I'm chosen. You see, if the enemy can keep you from understanding that you were chosen and marked, he will have you doing everything else besides what God has in store for you. A lot of the stuff you've been going through is the enemy's plan to keep you from God's purpose. Moses was marked from birth. And don't you know that the Pharaoh said, let's kill all the two-year-olds, because he tried to kill him so he wouldn't fulfill his purpose. The devil tried to kill some of y'all so you wouldn't fulfill your purpose. Joseph was marked before he was born. And even his brothers tried to kill him so he wouldn't fulfill his purpose. So a lot of the stuff you've been going through, your hurt, your pain, your past, your divorce, your finances, all the stuff that you worried about all the time is the enemy's strategy to keep you from fulfilling the purpose for which God has marked you for and has chosen you for. And I want you to get that. Whatever you're going through right now, you're finding out, well, I'm still dealing with the same thing year after year, day after day, all of my life, all of my issues. I got issues. Yeah, God knew that, and he still chose you. And he still marked you. And he still has purpose for you. Even before you were saved, all of the things you experience, God says, I'm adding that in, and I want to use that because you can reach somebody with your experience. So what purpose did God have in his mind when he chose and marked me? That's the first thing I want you to consider all through this message as you're listening. And the second thing is, what is it that I need to do to accomplish that purpose with the time I have left? With the time I have left. I want you to leave here today with an understanding and an appreciation that you still have some time to do whatever God has purpose for you to do in your life. What do I do now with the time I have left? And stop making excuses and saying, I don't feel led, and I don't know what God wants me to do, and all those kind of things we've been saying all these years. We're going to look at this book of Corinthians, of the book of Ephesians. And the book of Ephesians has been called the believer's bank. It's been called the believer's checkbook. It's been called the treasure house of the Bible. It is because in this letter to the church, it is a letter that talks of our great riches, our great inheritance, and our fullness in Christ. It tells us what we possess and how we can claim and enjoy our possessions. So let's take a look at what we have and who we are, beginning in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Paul is writing this to the church, and he says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. This verse tells us that there's something that should lift all of our spirits, no matter what we're going through. He says, first, there ought to be some praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ought not have to promote you and to encourage you to take a praise break. What we ought to be doing is say, why don't you just sit down so we can talk here just a little bit. I know you're happy. I know you got joy. I know you're thanking God, but can y'all just give me a minute to just say something? But in the church, we got to tell the believers, come on, lift your hands. Come on, lift your voice. Come on, give God some praise. Come on, everybody, clap your hands. We got to do that for the believers now. We don't have to do that for the football fans. We don't have to do that for the sports fanatics and the people that's going to the concert for their favorite artist. But we got to do that for the believers. And Paul starts this, he says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, nothing is more appropriate for God's people than to bless him for his great goodness. Come on, just take a minute and just say, Lord, we thank you. Come on, right where you are. You may be in your home. Say, Father, I thank you. Father, I praise you. Come on, from the depths of your heart, turn your heart toward the Lord. Say, God, I give you some glory. I bless the Lord right now. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Come on, come on, come on. Somebody say, bless the Lord. Come on, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Hallelujah. If you don't feel good, say, bless the Lord. If you feel kind of down, say, bless the Lord. If you've been going through some trouble, say, bless the Lord. If you're sick in your body, say, I bless the Lord. The God and Father of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God, we bless you. Glory to God. Come on, I bless you. No matter what you're going through, I bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. I'm going to bless his holy name. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless him in all things, whether pain or struggle or trials or frustration or adversity. We ought to praise God for he is good and his mercy is everlasting. Hallelujah. God is good. That's where Paul starts for believers. Say, bless the Lord. Bless God. He's our Father. He's our Lord. He's our God. He tells us what to do. Then we're told why we should do it. And he goes on and says, for he has blessed us. Come on, are you blessed? Come on, say, he's blessed me. He's blessed me. Come on, say, he's blessed me. Come on, say, I'm blessed. Now, I want you to look at that scripture again. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed. That means he's already done it. Who has blessed us. It's already done. So you can keep asking him for something. God said, I already did that. God, I need this. God said, I already did that. Because he has blessed us. Now, you may not feel blessed, but you're blessed. You may not look blessed, but you are blessed. He blessed us with everything he has where he is and wherever he is. He's blessed us. Look at what he says. He has blessed us in the heavenly realm. The heavenly realm encompasses the entire supernatural realm of God. His complete domain. The full extent of his divine operation. That's where we are blessed. Anywhere God is, we are blessed wherever he is and wherever we are. We are blessed. Wherever we are, the blessings of God are there with us. And then in that heavenly realm, we are given, and this caught my attention, every spiritual blessing. He said, I didn't leave anything out. Let's look at that again. He has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing. He didn't hold any of them back. He didn't say, well, let me just give them a little bit and see how they act. He says, when you come to me and you are mine, I have blessed you with every spiritual blessing that I have in my resources. And it's already done. All the blessings of God are portioned and set aside for us. He said, if you don't receive them, it's not my fault. That's your fault, because you just don't even, either you don't know they're there or you don't know how to get them. Come on, somebody say, I'm blessed. See, that's why God can say, you're blessed whether you are activating it or not. You're blessed whether you're walking in it or not. You're blessed whether you're receiving it or not. Why? Because I've already blessed you. He blessed us in the heavenly realm. See, there are the blessings of his grace that comes through the Holy Spirit. They're not limited to the fruit of the Spirit. They're not limited to the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of healings or tongues. Notice the scriptures tell us that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. That covers all the good that comes to us. It's the assurance of our eternal life. It's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's the promise of the resurrection. It's the inheritance of the kingdom of heaven. It's the privileges that God gives us and everything we need. No wonder Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And my God is able. So why did God do this for us? It was because he has a plan for us. Verse 4 tells us this. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be blameless, to be holy and blameless in his sight. Let's not just go too quickly past this. It says, the first thing says, for he chose us. For he chose us. What an amazing revelation. God himself, the creator of the universe, the omnipotent, the almighty God, chose me. God himself, from the beginning and no end, Alpha and the Omega, El Shaddai, all-powerful God, chose me. Come on, you ought to say he chose me. That's what Paul is telling us. He chose me. You were chosen on purpose. See, you don't choose anyone by accident. So what is it about that, about you, that God said, you know, I want that one. I want that one. I want that one. As I think about it, he chose you even if you are a teenager. He chose you. He chose you when you were a baby. He chose you before you got here. He chose you. He told Jeremiah, before you was in your mother's womb, I knew you. And I chose you. So God, who is eternal, God who knows everything from the beginning, knew you were going to be here. God was so strategic in what he wanted regarding you. He chose you for this time before the creation of the world. He chose you for this day. Okay, wait a minute. Hold on. Somebody's. You ought to be excited about that. He chose you for right now, before the creation of the world. Million years ago, before you even showed up, he said, you're going to be here in this time, and I'm choosing you for this time, and I'm equipping you, and I'm blessing you so you can function right now and do what I want you to do today. He knew you would be here in this culture with all the things that are going on now. How many know God needs some people now? He knew you would be here during a pandemic. Now. He knew you would be here watching your country almost disintegrate. Now. He knew you would be here among social upheaval and racial divide. Now. He knew you were going to be here. So he said, I'm choosing you for right now. Now the question is, what are you going to do right now? Since he chose you for now, what are you going to do right now? And Paul is helping them to understand, God didn't just save you so you can go to heaven. God didn't just save you so you can go to the sweet by and by. God saved you so he can use you to demonstrate his glory and his power right here, right now. Before you ever existed, God wanted you here. Now, to accomplish his purpose, you were chosen and you were marked for today. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, but today, right now. It is your time because this is where you are. I'm thinking about something I heard a couple of days ago from one of the people who stormed the Capitol. He says, I'm not a radical. I'm a business person, and I just wanted to be here. And the next thing I know, I was caught up, and I'm in there with the rest of them. And I'm thinking about all the believers sitting in the church. And you could say, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a pastor. But I got an understanding that I got a purpose and I got caught up and I got folks saved just like the rest of them. I got folks delivered just like the rest of them. I laid hand on the sick just like the rest of them. God used me to speak truth to somebody just like the rest of them. I'm just an ordinary person. I'm just somebody who has an ordinary job. I don't have no supernatural anointing. I don't have all of that, but God put me here for a purpose, and I got caught up, and I just prayed for somebody, and I just released my faith, and people are coming to Christ. That's what I see the believers. What if the believers were running on the city and running on the walls? We wouldn't have 9 shootings on a Saturday night like we just had this past few days in our city. Have you been watching the amount of violence and murders that's been going on in this city? Where are the believers? Have you been watching the domestic violence going on in this city? Where are the believers? Oh, I know where they are. They're waiting for church online. I'm not quite sure what I could do at this moment because of the pandemic. I'm not sure what I can do. I'm just waiting for things to kind of clear up so I can go back to church and have some church. That's not what God marked you for. God is saying, can't you see what's going on? Where is my army? We are soldiers. Oh, I'm a soldier. I'm a soldier. Oh, you guess what? There's a war going on. And where are the soldiers? I mean, you can sing about it all you want to. You're singing until the fighting starts. Well, okay. See y'all later. No, you were marked for this time. God knows you got the right stuff. God knows you can handle it. God knows everything that's going on, and he put everything in you. He gave you all spiritual blessings. He gave you an anointing. He gave you the Holy Ghost and power. He gave you everything you need so you can be effective in this time, and he marked you. And when we come to heaven, God's going to look at us and say, okay, now I'm going to judge what you have done. So what did you do? I went to church. No, how many people did you reach? How many did you share your faith with? What did you do for the kingdom of God? God saved you not so you can just believe for use your faith to get some more stuff. I exercised my faith and God blessed me. I got a bigger house. I got a bigger car. I got more furniture. God said, that's not why I marked you. I marked you so you can be a difference in the world. And if you look all through the scriptures, you're going to see God marking his people. He said to the Jews, you are a chosen generation. I chose you out of all the people of the world so that the people of the world can see how I function and can see how great I am. I chose you. I marked you. And Paul is saying that we have been marked and we have been chosen. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, and he chose us before the creation of the world. God had you in mind when he was doing creation. He says, I know where you're going to be. I know where you're going to live. You moved all around. I know where you're going to end up. I know the things you're going through. I know the pain. I know the hurt. I know your successes. I know your failures. Yeah, I know all of that. So that's no excuse. I still marked you. So if God thought about you like that and chose you, he must have a specific assignment with your name on it. He has an assignment. So don't get too excited or have anxiety about what it is that you have been assigned. In fact, we were told exactly where it began. He says the first thing he assigned for you was to be holy and blameless. Okay, you got that? See, I've been marked and chosen to be holy and blameless. Come on, say those two words, holy and blameless. He says, if you don't do anything else, start there. So before you go to the Lord, say, God, I need a vision. God said, I'm going to give you some vision. Be holy and be blameless. Once you do that, then you can continue on to do the things that I have assigned you. Once you are fully committed to him, we can access all of the spiritual blessings he made available to us. So Paul is looking at the congregation in Ephesians and Ephesus and decided that they need to know that they were called to do more than just attend church. The entire book about our choosing in this chapter. Look at chapter 1. It talks about who we are, that God chose us, and all the way through the book of Ephesians to the spiritual warfare in chapter 6. He informs us and he equips us for the assignment that we are marked for. He begins in chapter 1 telling us that we were chosen, telling us that that he as an apostle is speaking to the church that we are faithful. He goes in chapter 3, tell us that God has given us every spiritual blessing. In chapter 4, he tells us that he chose us. In chapter 5, he tells us in verse 5 of chapter 1, he tells us that we are predestined. In verse 6, he tells us that God has given us his glorious grace. In verse 7, we received his redemption and the forgiveness of sin. In verse 8, he gave us all wisdom and understanding. In verse 9, he made known to us the mysteries of his will. In verse 10, he arranged his timing for us. So here's where I want to encourage you today with this message. We are going into 21 days of fasting and prayer. When you come out of this 21 days, I want you to say, I know I've been marked. And I know I've been chosen, and now I am available to do what God has assigned me. You put that on your list as you're fasting and as you're praying. God, you made an assignment for me. I understand that. You chose me. You spent some time. You were strategic. There's something you want me to do right where I am. Everyone has an assignment. Everyone has an assignment. Everyone has an assignment. And if you don't know what it is, say, Lord, I'm standing before you. In these days of my fasting, in these days of my prayer, I'm saying, what will you have me to do? Now, you don't have to expect that God is going to tell you you got to go full-time missionary to South America. There's someone right there next to you in your neighborhood that God just might want you to minister to. There's somebody who's lonely, and you're the one that God wants to strengthen them and to encourage them. There's somebody who don't have anybody to go get groceries for them and take care of them because they're isolated. They're a senior citizen. They can't get out, and nobody's paying attention to them, and you're right there looking at them every day waving, hi. God says, go and minister to that person and be a light to that person. You don't know what God wants you to do, but he wants you to do something. There's a child that doesn't have any love in their life. God wants you to take some time and pour into that child. There's work all around us. Oh, did I use a four-letter word? There's work all around us. And when are we going to stop just looking inward? And let's understand the strategies of the enemy. All the fighting you're doing in your marriage is to keep you from doing what God wants you to do. All the financial stuff you've been trying to deal with all your life is to keep you from doing what God wants. The enemy got all kinds of things to throw at you. Anything to keep you from understanding you're marked and you have an assignment. You just keep doing what you're doing. They keep going around the same thing all the time. I don't care. Just don't do what God called you to do. Get up tomorrow morning and worry about the same thing you worried about yesterday. I don't know how I look. I just don't look like I need to look. Oh, I need to fix this. I need to fix that. I need to go buy me some more of this and some more of that. I just don't feel good. I just don't look good. I just don't feel good. You've been saying that for 15 years. Well, you ain't going to look no better. So do what God called you to do. You might not feel no better, but do what God called you to do. So I'm doing something different then. Get out of the mirror. You'll feel better. You'll look better. He'll bring you worry. He'll bring you frustration. He'll bring all kinds of stuff to you. Make you feel sorry for yourself. Whatever it is, just don't do what God called you to do and he marked you to do and he assigned you to do. Just don't do that. Do whatever else you want to do. Feel good about going to church every time the door opens and just sit there and look and say, thank you, Lord, and then go back home. Feel good about that. Don't do anything else. But God says, I marked you. I wish I had a marker right now. You know, they used to, sometime back in the day, when somebody was caught in adultery, they put a big A on their forehead. Or if there was a thief, they'd mark them, and everybody know what they are. I wish we could mark the believers, and they'd have a big M saying, marked. So what's that for? That's for my assignment in Christ. Well, he marked you. You need to see it. Get on up. You'll feel better when you're doing what? Listen, you are never, ever going to be totally fulfilled until you are doing what God signed for you. I can tell you that from experience. You're never going to be, I don't care how much money you make. I don't care how much success you have. Until you are doing what God assigned for you to do, you're always going to say, I ain't working right. I got these issues. No matter what job I was on, I was thinking, I got to do something else. I got to do something else. This ain't it. This is not it. I'm making good money, but still there's something missing. You know, until you start doing what God called you to do, you're never going to be fully satisfied, because he marked you for something. That's why Paul says, wherever state I can find, I am content. You can beat me and I'm still happy. You can throw me in jail and I'm still content. I have the joy of the Lord. I have the peace of God. It doesn't care. I don't care what you do to me, because I'm doing exactly what God called me to do. Let me close with this in chapter 2, verse 10 of Ephesians. We are told, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Okay, so God says, here's an assignment, and he prepared it, and then he said, who's going to do that? Okay, I'm going to get Willie to do that. He's not even born yet, so I'm going to prepare that for Willie to do, and I'm going to provide everything he needs to accomplish that. Everything, all the resources, all the wisdom, all the strength, all the joy, all the satisfaction. I'm providing everything, because I want that done. I want it done, and I got to get somebody to do it. Who's going to do that? I'm going to call Willie. Well, he calls Willie and mark him and choose him and assign him, and Willie spent half of his life going this direction instead of direction. You did it too. So did I. And then we get saved. So we turned around and we headed in the right direction. But what happened is, and I'm partly the fault, because once you got saved and came to church, I just told you to shout and worship God and give your offering, and let's just have a great time magnifying, praising, and worshiping and having church. And he's in the right place, but he's doing the wrong thing. I never said he saved you. As soon as you got saved, let's find out what God called you for. We don't do that. Come on in here. We got to get you ready, because you say he saved you with a purpose in mind. Let's figure out what that is and get you involved in that right now. And now I tell you, the hardest job in the church is to get the saints to become engaged in the work of the Lord. Ooh, I don't want to go to that church. They want you to do too much. I'm going down here where I don't have to do nothing. No, you were marked to do something. And if you're going to be here, your pastor's going to put you to work, Pastor Jackie. Pastor Jackie going to work y'all and challenge you, because she said you are marked. And I'm just here telling you what she told me to tell you. Would you do this right now? Would you stand on your feet? I just want you to consider for a moment. And many of you are fulfilling the purpose for which God has called you. But there's many of you who just never really considered and thought through the fact that you were chosen. Not only chosen, but you are marked. And God is looking at us all the time. He's looking at us and saying, so when are they going to get busy doing what I marked them to do? Listen, and you don't have to act like, I don't know what he wants me to do. I don't know what he wants me to do. Listen, if God doesn't make it plain to you what he wants you to do, he can't hold you responsible for not doing it. He's not going around trying to say, I got something for you to do, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. All he's waiting for is someone to say, Lord, I know you chose me. Lord, I know you marked me. And I'm here and I'm yours and I'm ready to do whatever you have chosen me to do. Say that to him and see what happens. Be honest in your heart. God, help me to lay aside every weight. Help me to lay aside every sin. And go to that scripture in Hebrews 12 and 1. Lay aside every weight and every sin so I can run the race that have been marked out for me. You got a lane to run in. You say, I want to run the race, Father, in the lane you have already marked out for me. I don't have to worry about nobody else. I don't have to worry about what they're doing and why I'm not doing that. I have my own lane. He marked me for something that's unique for me. My own personality, my own experience, my own ability. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My hurt, my pain, my loss. All of that, God, use it for your glory. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Those of you who are listening to me online, you are marked. You are chosen. Would you join us and say, Father, use me for the purpose for which you have called me and marked me. Father, you marked us. You marked us before we even existed. You knew us by name. You have an assignment with our name on it. You have purpose. You have intentionality. I thank you, mighty God, for helping me to understand that you already have predetermined what you want me to do. Help me to be responsive to your call, to your choosing, your marking me for the work that you have. And I thank you, Lord, for the effectiveness of what you're going to do through my life. Help us, almighty God, each and every one. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every child. We're all precious and we all have been chosen by you. We thank you for it now. Father, we ask you to raise up your people all over the world, all over the country, every believer. God, it is time for us to stand tall. It is time for us to be engaged in this battle that we're facing right now. You put us here for this fight. You put us here for this battle. You put us here for this culture. You put us here for this climate. You put us here right now because we have what it takes to get the job done. Thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, say, Lord, thank you for marking me. Come on, talk to him for a minute. Say, Lord, thank you for marking me. Thank you for choosing me. Thank you, Father, for the assignment you have for me. Come on, just talk to him for just a minute. Thank you for the assignment. We have faith to believe for all kinds of things. Let's have faith to believe that we're going to do the assignment that God called us to. I have faith to believe, God, that I'm going to fulfill the assignment, fulfill the role that you call me to, no matter what's going on. I'm not looking at what's going on. I'm looking at what you're trying to get done in my life right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. You may be seated. I said this message was for the believers. There may be some of you who are listening to me, or you may be here now. You've never made a decision to invite Jesus Christ into your life. All of us who follow the Lord, who are believers, who are saved, have had to come to a point where we've had to say, Lord, I want you to be my Lord and to be my Savior. You ask him, and you earnest in your heart, he's going to come in. He said, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He's the Savior. He's our deliverer. He will give us a new life. And he'll do it now. Why don't you just pray this prayer with me, whether you're in the building or you're listening online all across the country or all across the world. Just ask him. Join me. Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. Forgive my sin. I'm a sinner. I've been running and ruling my own life. I want to give my life to you so that you can rule my life and run my life. I want to fulfill the calling. I want to fulfill the purpose, Lord, for which you've created me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to grow in the things of you. I want to do that. Take my life and use it for your glory and your purpose. In the name of Jesus Christ. You know, if you are honest in your heart and you've made that commitment today, this is an opportunity for you to get connected and to grow. There are buttons where you are, whether you're on Facebook or YouTube or online, to get connected or to say that I made a decision for Christ. Touch that button, click that button, and we're going to get in touch with you and help you to grow. And the rest of us, be encouraged, because God has chosen you and has marked you to take his light to the world.
I am so excited that you tuned in to watch us today. You were in the right place at the right time. If you have not made a decision for Jesus Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to make a decision to receive him as Lord and Savior of your life. I believe that it will literally transform your life. So would you just repeat after me? Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of all of my sin. I believe that you are the risen Savior and you died on the cross for me. And so I receive you as my Savior, as my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that you are saved. So if you did that, you are saved. And congratulations for receiving Jesus Christ. Welcome to the kingdom of God. You are a part of our family. We like to connect with you. I want you to fill out that connect card, or if you're online, would you just reach out to us at lowcf.org. We want to come alongside of you and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Would you like us on Facebook? Would you follow us on Instagram and subscribe to our YouTube channel? And guess what? You will help us to take his light to the world together. We can do this. See you next time.